Be seated. Well, I've already done one service this morning. I started at 8:30 with a Holy Communion service, and I preached at that. And afterwards, somebody, as they were going out to church, said that they had a little present for me. It was a full double-page spread from The Guardian, a picture of the bishop, John Sentamu, jumping out of an aeroplane. Once upon a time, in my younger days, I'd have said, what on earth do I want with a picture of Bishop John Sentamu jumping out of an aeroplane? Of course, I'm more diplomatic now. So I said, I'm speechless. So no doubt that's winging its way to me, and I can't think what I'll do with it. The face of the Church of England, you see, the new modern face of the Church of England, or so it might seem. But this morning I saw what is perhaps an even more progressive face of the Church of England. I don't know if you've seen, but all the press at the moment is how the Church is fighting back against secularisation. Did any of you see this in the press this morning? Yep. The Church is angry at the marginalisation of the Church. They want to see more involvement of the Church in decision-making processes, the political decision-making in our country. I'm all in favour of more input from the Church and its adherents into politics. I think it's a good thing. Lots of people would have us keep out. I think the teachings of Jesus are incredibly important, and the more we can have the standards of our faith impacting upon society, the better. So I'm all in favour of this. But I'm even more in favour when I saw the person who was advocating this on the television this morning. It was a lady called Joanna Jepson on behalf of the Church of England. Last thing I heard of her, she was a curate, I think, in the church in Chester Diocese. But now she's obviously a spokesperson. She's blonde, a lot younger than I am. And she wore the new clerical garb. It was a collar that went round here, just a collar with the white bit in the middle, black, white, then kind of nothing, and then just kind of like a shirt which kind of came down. And I thought, what a uniform. You won't see me in it. But this is progress. This is wonderful. This is the Church fighting back. Not crusty old blokes jumping out of aeroplanes, but the Church trying to make an impact in society and trying to bring our standards to society, and that's what we've got to do. Oh, that over the decades, the hundreds and thousands of years since Jesus was here, Christians had been more vocal about the teaching of Jesus. The truth is, sadly, that often when we have become involved, we've said all the wrong things. Instead of advocating civil rights and civil liberties, often it's the Church which has done the opposite. And the Church has made the problem worse. And the Church has lent itself to bigotry and prejudice. Can you believe that the two nominations for the Democratic person to run for president in the United States are defined by race and gender? In 2008, that race and gender are the two big issues that still define. I mean, I find it absolutely remarkable. And of course, the Church, over the centuries, has been complicit, not actually changing attitudes, but being complicit in racial prejudice and bigotry. And so when we look at the passages from Matthew's Gospel today, when we see the teaching of Jesus, we've almost got to ignore all the mess that we've made over the centuries and go straight back to hear again, afresh, the words of Jesus, a man who included, who did not exclude. You know, here in our reading, we've got a tax collector. The Jews used to put tax collectors in with the prostitutes and the robbers. They used to say, thank God I'm not one of them. Tax collector couldn't go to church because he was not worthy. And Jesus goes to him and calls him as one of his followers. Here's a woman. Women were really poor. You know, they... They weren't supposed to be taught because they weren't up to the job. I mean, goodness gracious, we only gave them the vote in this country. The last, what year was it? 1920. I mean, you can't, when you look back, it's hard to believe, isn't it, really? But you can see where it all comes from. At the time of Jesus, they weren't allowed to be taught. And here was a woman who was not just a woman, she was an unclean woman because she'd had an issue of blood for a long time, and that made her so she couldn't go to church either. And Jesus embraces her. And then we've got a Gentile. Jesus goes to people who are different, who are excluded, and he includes them and he welcomes them. And you and I have got to be in that same business. Not drawing circles to keep people out, but opening our arms to bring people in. That is what the Christian gospel from our Lord is all about. You know, I listen to people who criticize the church and its teaching so often, and I say to them, what is it about the teaching of Jesus that you don't like? You know, he's the one upon whom we have founded our church. What is it that you don't like? Now, I know we've struggled with the teachings of Jesus for centuries. Since he left this earth, we've struggled to try and live it out. But I cannot find anything in the teaching of Jesus that I can possibly disagree with. His teaching is beautiful. And his love of humanity is remarkable. And that teaching we need to impact upon our society. However we can do it, we need to do it. And if it means putting pretty girls on the television to advocate our policies, then I'm all for it. We've got to do something, because our world so badly needs this. A Jesus who has time for people, who instantly knew when he looked at them that they were worth something. Why did Matthew leave his tax collector's box and follow Jesus? Not because Jesus had a great argument, because he realized that Jesus loved him. Why did those fishermen leave their nets and walk after Jesus? Because they realized that he loved them, and that in him, the love of God was clearly shown for humankind. That woman who, I'll leave you with this. The woman who came up behind Jesus in the crowd, a woman who considered herself not worthy, whom society had told she was not worthy. God's punishment was upon her. That's why she was ill. She's in a big crowd. And in the midst of that big crowd, Jesus spots her. And she's healed. Listen to what William Barclay wrote. He's a great commentator. And he puts it beautifully. I'll leave you with this. The woman who crept up behind Jesus and touched his clothes clearly had a low opinion of herself. Well, society had done that to her. We can only guess what she must have thought when Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" William Barclay, in his commentary on the book of Matthew, writes this. When she touched it, it was as if time stood still. It is as if we were looking at a picture or a film. Suddenly the picture stops, and we're left looking at that one scene. The extraordinary and beautiful thing about this scene is that suddenly in the midst of a crowd, Jesus stops. And it seems that for him, at that time, no one but the woman and her need existed. For Jesus, no one is ever lost in a crowd. Barclay goes on. He goes on to tell the story of the sinking of the unsinkable ship, the Titanic, in April of 1912. The next day, the headline of the famous newspaper was devoted entirely and almost exclusively to the death of the multi-millionaire John Jacob Astor. And at the end of the article, the newspaper mentions that 1,800 other people died. Such is the attitude of us as a society very often. But with God, no one is ever lost in a crowd. Every single person is important. Every single person is valuable. Every single person is loved. And on a beautiful morning like this, what more do we need to know? Amen.
Going to stand and sing again now. We rest on thee, our shield and our defender, 735.